Hardly a day goes by that the question is not poised to us and to many others. Are we in that Third World War? It is unique when we talk about the Third World War because I believe that the world wars that we had were symbolic and very dramatic witnesses to the end of the age. As you have heard many times, the Bible tells us in the mouth of two or three witnesses, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In this last 100 years, we have had two wars. Now, there's always been wars, but there has not always been world wars, simply because the whole world was not known to be until about 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and then right around 500 years ago, the Western world, as we know it, which was called at that time the New World, was discovered. That is really unique when you think about it, because after all of those thousands of years, all they knew was about the world over in the Old World, as they call it, and in the Far East. Then here at this end of the age, the entire world becomes discovered. And people populate all over the world now. And then in 1948, we had the proliferation of nations begin to grow, with the first one being established in one day, the land of Israel. Are we already in the initial stages of World War III? Are we going to get the final witness and establish to this world and to mankind that we are at the end of the world? If you've been studying the Bible prophecies, you will recognize all the current trends in the world. If you listen to this prophet of God, we talk about them constantly. The happenings and the events of politics, economics, and the religious system will lead anyone who is studying the scriptures to come to a full realization that we are in the end of the age, drawing close to the fulfillment of all prophecy at the end of the age. From Psalms 83, from the book of Obadiah, from Ezekiel 35 and 36, and then also with Revelation 16. As you read these accounts of scriptures, you can certainly anticipate that many of the major events relating to the last days are going to be concentrated and focused on the Middle East. For many years, I have told you, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Told you that the land of Iraq is the original site of the Garden of Eden. That's the area of the world where God revealed himself to Abraham in the land of Mesopotamia. And that's the general area of the promised land, which had been promised to the people of God who are going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. And that land goes from around Turkey all the way down into Egypt and all in between. And so today we are hearing of those cities, biblical cities, Damascus, Jericho, Jerusalem, Babylon, they are all coming to the forefront as God is causing that part of the world to be the focal point for the end of the age. The Battle of Armageddon is right there in the area of the Middle East and Jerusalem. In Revelation 16, it says this, "For they are spirits of demons working signs which go forth to the kings of the whole earth, to every country, to every leader of a country. For they are spirits of demons working signs which go forth to the kings of the whole earth to gather them together to the war of the great day of Yahweh, or of God, or of the Lord, the Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gathered them together into the place which is called in Hebrew Armageddon. There is so much tension taking place, building up in the world now, and these events are leading to this final resolution of a conflict between God and the forces of darkness. I think very dramatically back in the 1990s, when I told you that we heard the first thunder. Does anybody remember me preaching the message about the first thunder of Revelation 13? And I told you the first thunder was now thundering, and it took place, or it was marked by the meeting of Mr. George Bush Sr. and Mr. Gorbachev, who both had traveled to Rome and had a personal audience, each one individually, and then together they met on the high seas and went back to their respective countries, and Mr. Gorbachev invoked a coup that brought down the Soviet Union, and out of it came the Russian bear. Mr. George Bush, the daddy, came back and got us involved in a war called Desert Storm. And today we're watching the continuation of that. Did you hear what Mr. Bush had to say when he started that situation over there with the little country of Kuwait? Have you remembered the words that he spoke? I trust that you would, because they are the words of the Illuminati. Order out of chaos. We must create a chaotic condition that will give us the right or the mandate of the people to back us up to go forward with what we want to do. We've seen this happen both times, with one bush burning and got us in a war and called down fire out of heaven. Then the second bush burning and created another situation, another chaotic situation with the 9/11 terrorist attack. And we launched the second war in the area, and we are now watching it really unfold. And really, it's chaotic, isn't it? There's a chaos in Baghdad. There's a chaos over there. Let's listen to what we hear from the first burning bush.
And job about American sovereignty, but it would fulfill the president's father's vision. Bill Tucker reports.
It's not a new idea. President Bush talked about it back in 1991.
It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause.
Now, former United States Trade Ambassador Robert Zoellick is talking about it again with renewed vigor. This time, a new world order with business at the helm of trade and economic policy, advocating what he calls the Association of American Free Trade Agreements, a separate non-government entity which would include North, Central, and South America.
What Zoellick is really proposing here is a stealth trade agenda. It's not a national agenda. He's proposing to set up what's essentially a private organization to try to achieve what he couldn't get done when he was the U.S. Trade Representative. And this is a business agenda.
It's an agenda that goes hand in hand with the United States, Mexico, and Canada, working quietly and behind the scenes to promote a common market with common deregulation for the benefit of multinational corporations. It's an agenda that so far has resulted in an increase in U.S. corporate profits of 45%, while wages of American workers have risen only 3% in the last 5 years.
The main danger raised by Zoellick's proposal is that the future of American international economic policy, which affects not only our nation's prosperity, but its national security, will be set not by the American people and their elected representatives, but by a small corporate elite that is accountable to no one but itself.
Effectively surrendering the sovereignty of the United States. And as justification for trusting those who would have the authority, the argument is made that free trade promotes democracy and the welfare of the people. But, Lou, one has to look no further than China to see whether that, in fact, is true.
You know, I'm talking about Zolak's proposal. It's not Zolak's proposal. It's Daddy's proposal. And people better understand that they mean exactly what they're saying. It's a new world order they're trying to create, and they're trying to do so not only without approval or consent of the government of this country, but despite the popular will.
Mm-hmm.
This is a straightforward assault by the elitists in this country. And appreciate
Yes, my friends, you notice that this second crisis that they're trying to create in the United States area is and has to do with economics. It has to do with the American dollar. It has to do with the big man making more money. Did you hear the fellow say that the corporates have had 45% increase in profits while the wages of the Americans have only gone 3%? Isn't that something? We just heard a few weeks ago how 25 or 30 of the leading corporate officers of the high financial echelon, they got themselves a $25 million bonus. A bonus. It's really a crazy world, isn't it, my friend? While the cost of living and taxes are rising and the average man is faced with absolutely total economic collapse, they're creating chaos. And out of it, they're going to cause us to accept or to go along with their new world order, which is going to have a new economic system. That's the strength of the Antichrist system, friends. That's the strength and the final hold that they're going to hold over the heads of the world population. And he will cause all, both great and small, to receive a mark in his right hand or his forehead, or to have a identity credit card, welfare card, whatever. And without it, you won't be able to buy, sell, function at all. Everybody knows you're going to have to buy food. You're going to need a job. You're going to have to pay your rent. You got to pay your taxes. So you're going to have to take the mark. You're going to have to apply and receive this mark. It is selling your soul to the devil. I told you all along that the leaders of our countries are under the influence of the devil. The scriptures tell us that all the powers that be, all of them receive their power from the dragon. And I remarkably talk about the Bush presidency, because we've had two of them, and I guess I'm the only one that really made much of it, but it was the burning bush, the bush that burned, that signified to Moses it was time for God to deal with Pharaoh and set the people of God free. And here we have two burning bushes in the end time here. Both of them became president. Both of them burned, sent down fire out of heaven upon the little area of the Middle East, and focused our end time attention on that area of the world, a new world order.
Trying to create, and they're trying to do so not only without approval or consent of the government of this country, but despite the popular will. This is a straightforward assault by the elitists in this country, and appreciate
a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind: peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The Council on Foreign Relations, known as the CFR.
In the book of Peter, he writes, the day of the Lord will come. And he says this. He said, the day of the Lord, it will come. And here's how you will know when it's coming. The heavens will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and all that therein is shall be burned up. Can you think of any other description of a nuclear holocaust any better than that? The heavens will melt with a fervent heat. For a number of years, the major powers seem to have full control of the world and were able to contain the spread of nuclear expansion. The discovery of the nuclear bomb or the nuclear physis was not a happenstance. It came about at this time in this generation in order to be implemented to bring about the heavens melting with a fervent heat and the earth and all that therein is. The explosion of the atom, the power that's in the air, is going to bring about the absolute devastation to the nations and the world. The smaller nations were prevented from expanding by the control of the dollar and resources. And they agreed in an agreement not to develop nuclear weapons. The nation of North Korea, which is a very poor nation, has recently been pouring a great deal of resources into its nuclear development program. Where do they get the money? Who is supporting them? Who is providing all this? That is an American. If this is such a poor nation, and it is, then someone is supplying them with the resources, someone who has an agenda in mind. You can mark that down. Interesting statement that I read today concerning Iran. It said Iran also is seeking to establish a nuclear weaponry. Now, Iran is an oil-producing nation. It receives a great deal of oil revenue. It does not need nuclear energy. It has a source of energy that is unprecedented around the world. Oil. It could use its own oil supply to meet its energy needs. However, they're not satisfied with that. It intends to develop nuclear weapons, and they told us what their intent is. They intend to eradicate the nation of Israel, push them into the sea, extradite the Jews out of the Middle East, and fulfill biblical prophecy to bring all the nations together into the battle of Armageddon. The day of the Lord will come. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then you know, you will know that this is the day when scriptures are going to be fulfilled and the day of vengeance of our God. Followed after that military move will quickly come a world government, a world ruler who will rule from Jerusalem, and you will then see the abomination that maketh desolate. Jesus is coming.